The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he put on his robe and returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord. It remains a bit of a mystery as to why John's Gospel does not include a celebration of the Lord's Supper on the final night of Jesus' life. If you picture the upper room as a breaking news story, you just have to ask yourself, did John's cameraman pack up and go home early? Did they not get the significance of the bread and cup that Jesus passed around? Or was it when they got back to the newsroom that their editor just couldn't see the significance of an ordinary, not so ordinary meal. Go with the foot washing, he probably said. That's where the news angle is. Leave the banquet to MSNBC and CNN. I find it equally odd that the framers of our lectionary, those people who choose what readings we'll read on any given church occasion, in all of their wisdom, also choose to use John's version of the gospel telling about the final night of Jesus' life for this particular celebration. Certainly, Exodus and the reading from 1 Corinthians lead us in the direction of the meal, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Last Supper, call it whatever you will. But then we get John instead. John, who reports as the final act of Jesus' ministry among the 12, not the meal, but instead the act of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Is it more relevant to John that Jesus washed their feet? Is it more theologically worthy in his mind? Or by the time John's gospel was written, the last of the four, was he simply looking for that new angle, a different tip of the diamond to let some additional light shine through? I'm going to lean into a theological motive on John's part. I bet that's no surprise to you. There is a deep and compelling Eucharistic motif in the way John retells these final hours of Jesus' life. I don't think he is in any way shying away from the importance or significance of Jesus' institution of the Holy Supper on the last night at this last meal with his friends. No, he is not ignoring it. In fact, quite the opposite. John is amplifying it. Jesus is being the love, showing the love that he expects the Eucharist to strengthen us for in the world. This is not a meal that is a tidy little tete-a-tete between any one of us and Jesus. It is the meal of the baptized community, and it's meant to be the glue that holds that community together and the fuel that sends us into the world. By the time John's gospel was written, a full generation after the other three, gathering at the table was a standard part of Christian practice. What John is adding to the conversation is the answer to that favorite of all Lutheran questions: what does this mean? The Dutch theologian and hymn text writer Huub Oosterhuis gets it just right. We'll sing his gospel message to one another in just a moment, but let me lift this up for you, taken from the final stanza. It's exactly what John is proclaiming to us in this gospel text. And we accept bread at this table, broken and shared, a living sign. Here in this world, dying and living, we are each other's bread and wine. We are each other's bread and wine. Jesus uses a little bit different language to say exactly the same thing. I give you a new commandment that you love one another. The beautiful institution of the Eucharist, built on the Passover meal that Exodus proclaims and to which the reading from 1 Corinthians attests, is a wonderful, priceless gift. We all love it, do we not? But gifts are meant to be shared. And John's Jesus shows us how. Love one another. The mandate. That's where Maundy Thursday gets its name, you know. Mandate. Mandatum, Maundy. A mandate from Christ is clear. We not only receive communion, we are to be communion. In other words, be the body of Christ in the world. We are, after all, each other's bread and wine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.